do it to the best of my ability, because if I fail, that means I fail for my entire female nation, I call it.
Is that possible? That was the question for myself. And it is absolutely possible.
Good afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. And welcome back to the Everyday Business Show. I'm your host, Tony Lontis. And today we have an amazing guest who I'll introduce you to a little bit later. But first off, just a reminder, if you're listening on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, we have Peo in the Philippines ready and waiting to take your comments, respond to your questions, and provide you with links of anything we talk about today. And don't forget, please subscribe to YouTube. We love our subscribers on YouTube, and a big shout out to everyone in Europe today. Our guest will tell you where he is in a minute. If you want to listen to the replays of the live shows, don't forget to jump on the Tony TV channel app, available on all Roku, LG and Samsung smart TVs across the planet, Binge Networks USA, Hero Go TV USA, and lots of other places. This year, an important part of each and every show has been our acknowledgement to the special and important role in which our Indigenous communities play in the development of our country's cultural identity. So I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and broadcast, and pay my respect to the elders past and present, and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people listening here today across the globe. Now, I've had this wonderful guest I'm going to introduce you today on the show before, in the early days of my shows and in the early days of his shows, and he is an amazing human being. Elliot Connor has been described as nature's PR guy and number one fan. He started a global environmental charity spanning 110 countries. He's created 5 hit podcast design TV formats in the US and UK, and has a best-selling book, Human Nature, Be a Better Animal. He graces the stages from Davos to Seoul, Dakar, to Sydney, Glasgow, Jodhpur, and Marseilles. He has been on all 4 continents of the world and generally made an oyster of it, playing handmaid to hedgehogs, having picnics with parrots, buttering up bandicoots, doting on ducklings, hiding from hyenas, leaping away from leopards, and vacuuming vulture vomit, amongst many other things. Elliot is the youngest and most passionate CEO I know. His Human Nature Projects was founded in July 2019, and Elliot leads a team of global volunteers who work tirelessly to reimagine conservation through community and collaboration. He's an author, podcaster and documentary filmmaker, policy changer, and so much more. Welcome back to the show, Elliot.
Thank you, Tony. I'm not fucking quite above the introduction, but fun to try.
Absolutely. So back when we first started, you were still in trying to finish high school. And I just want you to refresh the audience. So the story about how you actually got into doing what you do now as a wildlife ambassador, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, where to start?
Were you 12 when you were working with the raptors in France? Is that where the idea just sparked? Was it back then?
But Human Nature Project, certainly. I mean, I think for nature, it's this Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole. Once you start getting these things immersed in wildlife, all this acceptivity, you just don't look back, you can't. climb back out. Deep and deep into it. I've been fascinated with the nature of my life. But Human Nature Projects, what is the idea for it? It came at the start of 2019, as mentioned. And I was volunteering with Tanavata, all sorts of raptors and birds of prey in France in bleak midwinter, lodging in a 13th century castle by day, feeding, caring for, cleaning after these raptors in hangars spread out across the park, huge, great, grey monolith. And by night, I was researching all the operations of about the 200 largest environmental NGOs. Because, as I say, I was extremely passionate about these issues. I spent several years prior in Australia, where I grew up, trying to volunteer, about these issues, which I was so passionate about. I found it really difficult. Obviously, organizations in these spaces are supposed to make sure that they don't want to take on unskilled, untrained, inexperienced miners. This is a difficult problem as well. And what I found supportable is that the larger these organizations got, the less they're meaningfully engaging themselves. So that's where Human Nature Projects came from. And basically an attempt so that anyone from all sorts of backgrounds, through age groups, through experience levels and skill sets, could meaningfully contribute to wildlife conservation across the globe through their local communities and then connecting them internationally. That's where it all started.
And so since obviously you finished school, I'm assuming,
Naturally.
back then you were trying to decide whether you would take a gap year or you'd go on to uni. What actually happened?
Oh, so I took about half the gap here. I made it to the Great Barrier Reef for 2 months, which was surreal and because of the world lived. Nothing quite like it. I did that. I went into the field of wildlife filmmaking, food, and a few problems. And then I took up an MBA, which I'm just finishing at the moment.
Oh, go
Which,
you.
yeah. So keeping on that academic track, it's not quite much, but certainly useful. Running Human Nature
In life.
Projects, I was completely unprepared. So definitely back in that education is big help.
Elliot, I wanted to talk about some of the terrible animal tragedies that you've witnessed, but before I go back to that, the bleaching on the Great Barrier Reef. So, as a Queenslander, I grew up going to the Great Barrier Reef. I've seen it from quite a young age to more recent, and it's pretty heartbreaking, isn't it?
Well, definitely. And actually what I did is I spent 1 month on Heron Island, which is on the southern tip of the moon. I mean, that's still beautiful. That was still it's far enough south that bleaching hasn't quite reached its en masse. The second month, though, I bleaching was eventually back on the northern tip of the moon. So Lyford Island, it's actually absolutely awesome. So this island's been hit by several consecutive cyclones, by mass global bleaching from 2017. We're getting more of it this year and in between as well, with all of these things. So we're really about, we're going to see healthy problems there. This is the exception to what is in Heron Island, isn't it? They might see one or two bleached corals, but so having that contrast was the really striking thing. So going
Because,
from pristine reef
Elliot,
to
that's how many kilometers? Like, it's not a huge from the
right,
southern end of the Barrier Reef to the northern end of the barrier. we're not talking tens of thousands of kilometres. It would be, I don't know, 1,500 kilometres? Like, it's not... But the difference between the top and the bottom. Elliot, I know well enough to ask you now that this is climate change in action, isn't it?
Of course, of course. And I mean, we've reached this bedrock here with this. Obviously, even if we do have climate change, we've still got a death rate of this future, which will take place. It's inevitable. Nothing we can do about it. So these winds really shocking climate change.
Elliot, do you see, in terms of climate change, obviously we need better environmental policies and we seem to need more awareness, although it seems pretty obvious to a lot of us that this is what's happening. Our case in point, the flooding that we're experiencing is just unprecedented. What else does it take, Elliot, for people to actually take action that brings those temperatures back? What are some of the key things that you see around climate change that will have an impact in our next decade? I know that they have to happen now, but I really want these things to happen now. But I am also conscious that governments are slow to act and that it will be people power that will bring about the quicker change around climate change. What are some of the things that you'd like to see happen?
Well, you're absolutely right. So Australia's environmental policy famously is lacking or non-existent, essentially.
Correct.
Entire environmental policy framework famously doesn't mention the word climate change in any of its 500-something protocols. So, I mean, I don't think we can expect much done.
I agree.
So, a lot of what I've been trying to do with the nature project has been working through communities, and I think that's so powerful. In terms of especially an issue for climate change, which affects us too. So it doesn't discriminate between rich or communities. It is going to spill over everywhere, climate change. So it's something we can definitely unite by. With that in mind, being able to spread word about these issues so we can educate especially the younger generation, who are very aware of the issue, but do not know how to manage them. If you think about, say, what I can do, if I want to go out tomorrow and make a positive impact, but the options are fairly limited, not enough for my time. So, grant 100 million so I can go donate $500 to WWR. So this is what we're taught, this is what we learn. It's such a narrow view of what individual runs into the climate change. There are many, many things out there that tell you hundreds of different things to reduce your emissions. And then if you go share one of those things, then we get this butterfly effect, ripple through the communities. So, I mean, there is no easy answer in terms of how we can fix climate change. But I think community is central to it and creating a problem, which is what I've been looking at more, actually, since we are going on. So being able to change our perspectives of issues like climate change, so that we can lose some of the apathy, which is wanting our approaches for these issues, see them in a new life, take real positive, immediate action, and get some real positive sentiment to move the stigmatization of tree huggers, environmentalists, to be able to, really unify myself and visually.
Yeah. Because, Elliot, climate change has very detrimental impacts on our animals. They're Can you tell me about some of the things that you're seeing? Because you travel across the globe now. So I really want to know some of the examples of how climate change. So we spoke about the coral on the Great Barrier Reef and the bleaching. What other things are happening across the world from your perspective that are being impacted by climate change?
Particularly the animals. Of course. And in Australia, I came as the Wildlife Festival, rehabilitator. So I was taken into the labs and the injured removed 15 million and believe the lack of environment. It's hard because all of these issues are interlinked. So climate change is a huge, huge important factor. It also has urbanization and pollution. I'm going to thank you for that. COVID. So, before I was here with the Senegal, which is where I am, I actually stopped with you. Before I was there, I was in the Congo, which is down the road from Jane Goodall's chimpanzee sanctuary.
Oh my goodness!
Which was great. Except for the fact that the sanctuary has been locked down for the past 6 months. Absolute full out quarantine. No living being is going to cross through those trees. Because chimps are just as vulnerable to COVID as we are.
Absolutely.
So they suffer from us screwing ourselves over, eating bats, trading illegal pangolins, causing this global pandemic.
Oh.
And it's such a shame. Because, I mean, the work that they do, the Institute of Brainstorms, it's a tool. And they care for the orphaned children, these chimpanzees.
Yes.
Which have been often free bushmeat training. So there are so many issues. You're right, climate change does affect animals, especially in Australia. So we saw mass flying fox dogs when we had the bushfire season, body someone left with. We've seen the coral beach, very, very bush, and goodness knows.
And the koalas in the bushfires and.
And koalas and the Murray Darling River drying up,
fish.
And thousands of fish sprinkled. So we can point at these apocalypse level catastrophes, but the reality is that all animals are affected by this. So climate change is forcing mass migrations of creatures into new environments that come into contact with humans more. Kentos are spreading south, they've just reached New South Wales. So
That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, Australia not doing that.
I have to agree with you, Ella. I'm a proud Australian, but gosh, on so many levels, we're just not performing very well at all. I wanted to talk to you today. You've just created another new podcast, the fifth one, audience. This is Elliot's fifth successful podcast, and it's called The New Ark. Can you tell the audience what it's about and what you'll be talking about?
Sure. So, yeah, the New Ark's a bit of a new experiment for me in podcasting spaces. So I started it when I moved to Bristol, so a few months back, with a local co-host. And basically the premise is that our Earth is about to explode, apocalyptic floods, alien invasions, zombies, name war apocalypse. So everything and everyone is basically going to be wiped out. And we have a space ark with unknown dimensions, and it is going to set sail through Earth to put down another habitable planet where essentially we're going to start anew. So myself and my co-host each week take a new animal and discuss whether it merits a place on the ark.
Oh, that's brilliant. Because I was thinking about all the animals and, like, how do you choose a koala over a chimpanzee? Like, what a great conversation, because they're both wonderfully unique. How do you choose a goat over a sheep, a llama over an alpaca? What a great conversation.
Well, definitely. And I mean, these are the questions we actually do have to answer, sadly, in wildlife conservation, because we only have so many resources. We devote $100 million to conserving pandas, and we lose, say, 1,000 other species. So, I mean, it's interesting for that reason, and also to see actually how bizarre it is, the ways in which we do judge animals. Because in these podcasts, I play devil's advocate. So I'm arguing against every animal making it on the park. Which is, I mean, it's
I was
funny.
Just going to say, Elliot, that's going to be challenging.
It does break my heart, actually. But,
I'll bet.
The interesting thing, though, is all the arguments I have to level against these animals are coming from a very human standpoint. So, for example, we often raise the question of whether animal sex and these are consensual. So, are they rapists? So, it's hard to answer. Like in anglerfish, when they have sex, the male fuses into the female anglerfish. They become one fish.
Whoa.
So, I mean,
did they deserve a place on the ark?
Well, it all comes down to the audience's vote. So we don't choose. We just set out the winning things. So it's been interesting. Cats didn't make it on. That was the one shocking result we got.
Okay. But
it's been quite even so far, quite balanced. So we got foxes. Foxes made it.
Okay.
So people like foxes, pigeons, scraped. We and elephants. So.
Oh, wow. So, Elliot, when you're talking about cats, are you talking domestic cats? Are you talking big tigers? Are you talking cheetahs, leopards? How do you differentiate between a cat is a cat?
Domestic cats are bad cats.
Good point. Because you can't take cats as a whole group. They're very individual. They're all different. Their traits are different. The way they live's different. And so the podcast, The New Ark, have you decided where the new ark is going to go, or have you got a fictionalized earth place to take them all to?
Well, I actually don't think we've quite got down to the logistics of it yet. We do have a substitute there. I mean, we've got a food thing. We'll just put a new one.
Pick
don't
one.
Think.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've got enough plastic in the oceans. Feed that into a very nice 3D printer. Spin
and
out.
Spit out an ark. Perfect. Perfect. Speaking of ocean junk, it's actually encouraging to see all the initiatives across the planet that are happening. I know that we've got a long way to go, but isn't it good to see some of those big vessels scooping up all that plastic and repurposing it to whatever? It's such a shame that it took getting to this point for those things to happen, isn't it?
It is. But it's also a great example of how people with moving backgrounds can initiate this change. Of course, there's that Irish teenager who's saying, you're definitely a statement now, but he won the Google Engineering Prize.
Yes, I can see his face.
Cleaning up
I just
the microplastics in the ocean. So, I mean, there are all sorts of solutions we can implement for these issues. It's a question of doing so in a suitable, in short period of time.
Yeah, it needs to happen quickly, doesn't it, Elliot? I was listening to my favorite and my grandson's favorite documentary maker. I've got a mental blank. The gorgeous old English guy, David Attenborough. My grandson
That's
loves David. David Attenborough's shows, and we were watching something on the weekend about what's happening with the animals and the different impacts of where they are and what they do. But gosh, Elliot, if we don't look after animals as a human species, we are effectively doomed, aren't we? Because animals make it possible for us to live the life that we live. They make it possible to breathe the air and all the rest of the things, to create food. And if we don't put them higher up in our sphere of consciousness and understanding, we're going to lose it, aren't we?
Oh, well, of course. And there are all sorts of ways to quite measure how much animals we back to. So there have been papers that have come up figures like system services provide about 30% of our ability to be fixed, which is great. So that's a huge amount, like 80% of the needs of the poor. Great to know. But it's more fundamental than
yes.
that.
Yes.
Because these are actual our relatives to
yes.
do that. So, I mean, it shouldn't be a question of reason number two. Really, there shouldn't be an equation for that.
I absolutely agree with you. I wanted to talk about your bestseller, Human Nature, How to Be a Better Animal. I want you to tell the audience what prompted you to write and a little bit about what the book is, what the book's about, without giving too much away, because I want people to get out and buy Human Nature, How to Be a Better Animal. But for the purposes of the audience, talk about your, I know that when we talked last time, you were already thinking about writing, but now you've actually done it and it's a bestseller. So what's it about?
Well, indeed, just as we were saying just now,
yes.
humans and animals are far, far closer than we might give credit for. So, I mean, that's what Human Nature sets out to do. Basically, I take a look at humans, animals, all the different arguments I've ever heard leveled as to what makes humans unique, which is quite a few. So we're really good at saying how great we are. Brilliant. Humans best egotists in the animal kingdom. But if you really pick those apart, take them to their base level, none of them. So there's no single attribute which can mark you as unique. And then I guess if we embrace that, if you take that forward, what does that mean? So if you take the Great Barrier Reef, whilst I was there on Helen Island, they've got about 100,000 breeding terms, not
yes.
birds, but yet they're beautiful.
They are.
And there's this strange life cycle process that goes on, whereby there's also a tree island with a psonia tree. And the psonia tree has sticky seeds. And the seeds get caught, which up in the wings of the related organs, which is tense. There's a point where you can't nap half life. And they're completely debilitated, so they're brought from the net, so it's different. And well, they literally got away and died. But and they worked near the island, you know, a few times, who at the sign say, don't touch the dying baby birds. Don't help them, don't save them, leave them to the rot. I mean, they say this is part of nature, it's part of the natural life, so we can't interfere. But the last time we left human babies out to die was in the dark ages.
Elliot, that's always perplexed me, that whole idea, don't touch them, don't help them, don't save them. I've never been able to get my head around that, because my instinct is always to save it and help. And it's always perplexed me why they instruct humans not to help. Like, I don't get it.
It's so sad. So sad.
Yes.
And I mean, it's all to do with this human experience. I think so. Well, we're so
no, no, it's across lots of other animal kingdoms.
Of course, you can see it everywhere. So all the good guys are so scared to touch anything that they can't go in now. There's so many rules, binding our speculations. But the reality is, we've messed in which we are so much. There's nothing we haven't touched, disturbed, pain, troubles. in this respect.
So,
It's so sad.
you actually think that we should be doing more, and when they say don't touch, don't help, you're actually not sure that that's the correct way we should be doing things?
Of course. And I
Yeah.
think people know this. So if
Good.
you do look around the islands, all the kids are going and helping these little birds. Because, I
Good.
mean, who wouldn't? But
Yes.
this is something which we don't recognize. It's the same with humans and animals being so similar. Something we all know, essentially, about us. If you speak to
Yeah.
anyone any
You
length
have to
about it,
look
you find.
after them.
Of course. So, yeah, I mean, that's what human nature is about,
Yeah.
ostensibly, by the
Yeah.
journey towards understanding this, coming to
Yeah.
grips with the support those sets of ideologies. And then, yeah, what that might mean regarding our conservation. This is a 70-year-old food which hasn't changed, has it evolved completely
And
on
I
that food.
think that's part of the problem, Elliot, that we need to change some of these ideas, concepts, and policies if we're going to save animals as a whole and protect them. Because, as we said before, without animals, humans are nothing. Just on a fundamental level, if you think, if I just think about my goats and the joy that they bring me each and every day, that's the value of that in my life, and extrapolate that out across the globe. Animals have value, even at that intrinsic level of humor and good feelings and love and caring. We need to protect them. And all of them, not just the few that are fashionable or whatever. It's about like the baby birds and making sure that they, are not stuck down with those seeds and things and, protecting them. Elliot, your company, Human Nature Projects, can you tell the audience about them specifically? Because you coordinate this whole community of volunteers across the globe into all different projects. And I'd really love you to tell the audience about some of those projects that are happening right now and how people can help and connect with you and keep spreading the word, so to speak.
Oh, so I mean, Human Nature Projects, it's a bit again. All I did was share my story, share my vision.
Yes.
I think that at its heart, that's what leadership is. I think an ideal thing I do, and change the perspective of these people. So that's what I did back in mid-2019. And it really grew from the people who don't
Yeah.
decide it. So same
Yeah.
people. Do you realize that these animals say something together at one location to achieve different. So yeah, since then, in which project 110 countries and network. It has been challenging that we COVID
Yeah.
movement restrictions, even though much of our work with that community level, sure, when people part of them, it happened, but definitely makes it so much harder. But yeah, so definitely, if listeners are interested in finding out, they can check out our website, the Nature Project, for all. Chances are that there will be a natural chapter with you. And all this natural chapter is to connect like-minded, passionate people who come from you, but also would supply, and they're so good, so share the skills. And so it's such a diverse model that then these natural challenges realize which are relevant to which are relevant to our inclusion where we are. And they would be also different to. I mean, I take no credit for it. It's all the volunteers out there who are doing the hard miles of labor being. But it's so inspiring every day. Well,
Elliot, what's one of your favorite or one of your projects that's really capturing your mind at the moment? What's one of the foremost ones that you're working with at the moment? And whereabouts in the world is it?
I didn't need to choose favorites.
Okay, well, you can tell us about a few.
I was speaking recently with a national champion gambler who is amazing. Like, one of the few people who could pop on phone call with you and leave me boom, beautiful every time. Just that much passion energy. The
Yeah.
world is that. But over there, they recently launched the ecosystem operation. So they've been looking at land grant and on that land, they started a mass station rewilding projects, bringing in volunteers from other countries and local communities to contribute with their experience. To make this thriving ecosystem once more on the shores of Lake Victoria. So this is really doing great, isn't it? It's a lot.
So Elliot, it's really about lots and lots of people doing things in their own small way that will actually create the bigger changes that we need to see across the globe, isn't it?
Definitely, it's that multiplier. Exactly. So, we can all do things like planting 100 trees to
Yes.
pay off for the weekend. But when we realize the large groundswell project needs to create meaningful climate change, that's going to get us into.
Yeah.
We've seen it in climate change spaces, outside nature.
And Elliot, you'll just keep going and going and going and creating projects and coordinating the community across the globe around this. This is your passion, isn't it?
Definitely. Well, I know this. It's an issue which anyone can care about.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see.
From
So,
kids to grandparents, you know, and anyone in between.
Shakespeare said, it's still one of my favorite quotes. He said, "One touch of culture makes the whole world feel," and that's so true. So
Yeah.
it's the same. I'm going experience everything. Is worth that. That's absolutely.
Elliot, besides the book and the podcast, which you're having, I can hear in your voice, you're having loads of fun with the new arc. Do you think you'll go on, keep going on and writing more and producing more podcasts? Is that something you see for the future?
Oh, definitely. So the new arc, I am growing tremendously. Definitely getting there. But I mean, for me, one of the big things I have been focusing on really is on the film industry, because that's where big audiences are. It's on HGTV, or it's in
Yeah.
the SVOD platform, platforms like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, which attracts unprecedented audiences. It's put
Yes.
on messages in front of unseen moments.
Yes.
So that's where I'm focusing on. I'm going to be writing my first feature screenplay, good fun, based on Shakespeare, much of about nothing. So, really trying to find new, innovative ways to tell these stories. So it all comes down to
Yeah.
story. So it comes down to this is how we get movements, how we get change, how we change our perspectives.
Yes.
Inspire them to go out there, change the world
And
for the
do their little bit around what they can
better.
do because everyone can do something, can't they, Elliot? Everyone can do something
Everyone can.
around just a little bit, but it's all those little bits that create big change. And as we talked before, we can't actually leave it to the politicians and the country leaders. Because it's not, they're not going to do it. It actually comes down to individuals, families, volunteers we're the ones that have the capacity to make that change. And I believe that we can. Do you still have that belief, Elliot, that we can save things, we can change things?
Anyway, stop believing that there's an absolute belief. And thanks to networks like the network, I do keep the faith, which is in a field like this, moving through. That's my feeling. It brings us in more inspiration. And it would be best to be there.
Yeah, yeah. I think I asked you before, and I can't remember what the answer was. What's your favorite animal and why? And I know it's a really hard question for you because you love so many of them.
It is hard. And, I mean, well, with the new arc as well, having to find the faults with these animals. So episode 3 was elephants, which... historically, definitely my favorite animal. Got a lot of fond memories of pelicans. But it's tricky. Actually, at the moment, I'm going to have to go for the rock doves of Penny Pigeon, as you know, in Australia. Because they are everywhere. They're not big creatures. Definitely rivals to humans in many, many ways. But fascinating. And they have been with humans since the start of civilization. Ancient.
Yes.
They're worshipping them, feeding them, the first Olympic Games.
They worship them, Elliot.
Tied to their goddesses. So, from Mesopotamia, obviously, yes. All these gods, goddesses relate to. So, in Greek, Roma, five goddess Venus, or so, right to the degree. But it's slightly ironic, given that when, as an animal, you worship and then sacrifice, it's not necessarily the best deal, but ups and downs, ups and downs.
So that's your favourite one at the moment. I've kind of thought, I vaguely remember a story about a leopard, but that was actually... the leopard story was around like your first conscious thoughts around working with animals and saving animals, wasn't it?
Definitely. And I mean, that's one of those implanted, right? Really good with Charles Camps, with my family, the more lost one. I stood loving. So it's just old enough to be dependent, looking. 5 meters apart from the family, trying to have this little to do with what was physically possible. And in the dark, they picked up the campsite of Poland. But I have this significance. I did think I'm about flapping behind the field. But there was a lot of those down. 3 meters behind. You keep over the ground. I mean, in the afternoon, at night, it's survivors. So, you know, if how we do things, I would have to decide with them. How bad. So, in the back,
yeah.
Family turned hands, got lives, opportunity. I mean, life and death experience, but certainly a memorable one. And it was, I guess, the arson which really affected me, because they later, they bring numbers and I was good. What to do with that, who caught the numbers, 14 numbers, that did humans danger to, POVs, all this. In its habitat, with stars. But clearly this leopard did not associate humans with good. That's why I was following this law from you.
About
2 meters back. And that's not the largest boat, that's the boat of campers, fire, leaving out sausages and other leaving out scraps in an empty plate, but there's conscience. So, this is the issue. We're not conscious of our relationship with nature, but we don't think about it, and we don't consider our actions and our families. And yeah, they're spirit. That's definitely one of the birds of the earth when these issues will be raised.
Elliot, you mentioned earlier in the show that you're in Senegal at the moment. What's happening in Senegal at the moment with you?
So I've been traveling around Africa for the past few months as a journalist, essentially,
Yes.
helping the energy sector, which is a really tough space in Africa. Because,
Yeah.
of course, we want to promote renewables as solar, wind, hybrid power for the energy transition. But that's not the only issue that is we need access to electricity, which often the majority is around here. But like now, so they don't have enough electricity stuff. We also need enough factory, enough development, as useless to be able to develop. Right from the get-go, this is a human market. So I mentioned I was in Congo last month, and that was because Congo of 89% already. It's almost entirely what's in. So, I mean, you
Yeah.
can't take that way. You can't say, no, stop it, it's bad for the planet. It's
Yeah.
one of those harsh realities. Here in
Yeah.
Senegal, they do great work. So no
Yeah.
details on that one. It's about a quarter renewables currently in their power supply. But that's only spun up in the last 2 years, 3 years. So they're starting to, in global terms, there's a transition. It just goes to show where there's a will,
Yes.
there's a way.
Yes.
Energy as you want, as you want. It all depends on having the right tools to have, having the right people to put. But yeah, that's why I'm here, telling these stories, promoting this change for the better.
Yeah. Elliot, when you travel, do you travel and interview by yourself, or do you have have a cameraman with you that films everything that you're doing? Or is it you that are just doing it all by yourself? I'm just curious.
So I travel with my own camera gear to film the interviews. There's a few
Yeah.
colleagues at the moment, so I keep always down to wake them. It is 3 a.m. of the morning, but yeah,
We are incredibly grateful that you're joining us at 3 a.m. in the morning, and we've not got too much time left. And I want you to share with the audience the best way that they can help and connect with you and what they can do to make a change going forward today.
Sure. So to check out the Major Project, again, website is themajorproject.org. My website is
Connor.
elliotconnor.com. Nice and simple. You can find
Easy
me
to
on,
remember.
you can find me on socials at elliotconnor.eco, or head and check over out the New Ark, wherever you find your podcasts or on
Oh,
social media
yes.
at New Ark Archives. Nice and easy. At New
Yes.
Archives.
Yeah,
Vote.
that's.
Find an animal to support it.
That was my other thing, Elliot. If people are listening today and perhaps are not busy but wanting to help in a financial way, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, so again, on humannatureprojects.org, there is a button which allows you to see the reports.
Yeah.
So everything's there for you to check out. Very, very easy to navigate. I again take no credit for that, but the tech team does a great job. Again, having the skills, experience, backgrounds, all these diverse sectors, fun to learn. But yeah.
Yeah, because you're reliant on donations to keep doing the work that you do and keep setting up communities that do these projects. It's an integral part of what you do and what you need to do to keep doing what you do. And I'm so grateful that we have incredible young men like yourself, Elliot, doing such passion projects, and you're leading us, the older adults, in a way that is really invigorating. As an animal lover, I knew from the first time that we spoke that you would do big things, that you would create big change across the planet. And I'm so excited to see that it's still happening, that you are still powering along with that vision and that mission. And if there's anything that I and the audience can do to assist you, we will. And I'm just encouraging the audience today to jump onto humannature.com and also check, is it, sorry, .org. .org. I want you to Google Elliot and see all the work that he does. I want you to check out his podcast, and I want you to buy the book, Human Nature, How to Be a Better Animal. And on the website, I know because I've been there often, you can see all of the things that happen, how they happen. You can, of course, donate to help Elliot keep doing this work. And then I'm sure there will be big things in the future. I'm excited to know that Elliot is setting up his own network for streaming. That's incredibly exciting as well, because that in itself will help get the message out to the global audiences about what we need to do to protect our animals, which in turn protects our earth and protects us as human beings. Elliot, one final word. What do you see as your biggest vision? If you could have anything, what would that biggest vision look like for you?
That's easy. So my life's goal has always been to reclaim my human relationship. So see the animals if you understand the difference in compassion. I think that's a marketing point.
That's fantastic. Elliot, I'm just going to check our time. We're just about to the end of the show. There was one story that I remember talking to you about. We've talked about the raptors and we've talked about the leopard. There was another story I remember you telling me about, and I can't remember which particular animal it was about, but it might have been the hyenas in Africa. Can you quickly tell the audience about the hyena story?
Two Christmas Eves ago, the 2020, I was in South Africa, as I mentioned, doing some wildlife screening, middle of nowhere, absolutely remote, as remote gets. Christmas Eve, not a safari drive with a film. I was on the front seat of this World War II Jeep. That is broken, old vehicle, crunching along the bush, nowhere else. I was on the bonnet in the back of the seat, spotlighting, saw a lumbering, looking around the vehicle, the bush, one from the hunt. I was with so they kept on trying anyway, following where the spine was going. It did tick the spine, came across a way of the antelopes and pile about it. So we pull up, turn off the engine, turn off the lights. Blackness surrounds them with this I think it's 10 times louder and dark. And waited around, keep smuggling with the building. Oh, the roof and parts blazing. 2 minutes go by. Feels like it's 3 minutes in the morning. And then just hear undoing a boot. Then hear the snap of the pollen neck crashing. What's the end of this? The one of the pollen bands has been taken down by the clients. The impudence of the client. So,
Is it too dark to film?
This is the thing. So, with nature, it's always expect the unexpected.
Yes.
Because we haven't all turned up with candy there. We turned up with flowers. No chance of
Yes.
it. So,
Yeah.
we read a thermal machine. So that no cameras rolled, but the most incredible experience you could possibly hope for. So just goes to show nature can always, 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 always surprise us.
Yeah.
Feelings. It's this very spice of life.
And it's
Yeah,
thrilling
I would
too.
always.
And of course, when you're in the middle of nowhere and there's no human light, it's very dark. You've only got starlight and very dark. And as you said, the noise is amplified as well. So what an incredible experience, Elliot.
It was quite remarkable. My first day on
Yeah.
location, first safari drive, Christmas Eve, literally an hour out of camp.
Wow. Elliot Connor, I am so happy that I've been able to share the stage with you this evening, and I'm really grateful that you got up so early just to talk to us. I love talking to you. You're one of my favorite interviews from the year that we did it. And again, I'm so proud to know you and see the work that you're doing and the incredible future we have because of people like Elliot Connor. Elliot, thank you. I'm going to let you go back to sleep. I'm gracious, grateful, and fabulous to have you on the show again. Take care, and we will talk again soon.
Thank you, Tony. Listen.
Thanks, Elliot. And that, my friends, is your lot for this week. We'll be back next week for another Everyday Business show. And today, it's been the Everyday Business of Animals with Elliot Connor. Thank you, Elliot. Bye for now.
I'm going to do it to the best of my ability because if I fail, that means I fail for my entire female nation, I call it.
Is that possible?